Welcome, Freedom Fiends. It is Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas. It is August 3rd, 2013. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in rural Wyoming in his bunker. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Excellent. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. Good night and good luck.
Well, isn't that special?
Did your dog eat your show clock, or you got a show clock this weekend?
I printed out a new show clock with the awesome printer you bought me.
Yeah,
It's a brother. I don't know the model number, but it's pretty dope.
Well, you are my radio brother, so I got you a brother brand. Yeah. And that is not it. That's not an ad. Yes, go out and buy brother brand. Well, no, we don't write this. We don't get paid to say this, but we should. So if anyone from the Brother Printer Corporation, a subsidiary of Matsubushu Waterworks Incorporated and Heavy Machinery and Fish Concern of Japan.
I'll do a real live read real quick.
All right.
Scott Beezer actually sent me the Quantum Vibe graphic novel, Volume 1, Nicole. And it's autographed, and it just warmed the cockles of my heart. I feel like a little fanboy or a giddy schoolgirl. It is beautiful. It looks like it's going to look great in a bookshelf, and everything's great, man. I would encourage you to go out and buy one if you're a fan of Quantum Vibe. And if you're not a fan of Quantum Vibe, please go to bigheadpress.com or quantumvibe.com and start reading it. It is like the best thing to do if you have an office job and you need to knock off a few minutes. Go ahead and go to Quantum Vibe and do some slacking in style.
Yeah. And the reason Nima's been getting so many presents lately, I'd like to quote from Timothy, "Muzzle not the ox that treadeth out the corn," which means reward the worker for his work and don't starve him.
Yep. Yes, yep. Yes, because then he will work harder in order to get more rewards, which is kind of the opposite of the way the state works, isn't it?
Yes. Nice insertion of the thing that this show is about. We've been doing a couple shows lately, especially the midweek ones, that we don't even talk about politics at all. And people say they're our favorite. Even the people who think about politics all the time and agree with us 99.999% and just argue with us about the other 0.0001% of the time, all the time. Those people like the ones where we don't talk about politics much, or we just do it in passing. And I think we might want to head that way today, even though we have some Bradley Manning and some Obamacare.
And some Snowden.
And some Snowden. Pass the Snowden. Yep.
Tasty.
Yeah. So, speaking of muzzle not the ox that treadeth the corn, we've been putting together our one sheet because, you know, we just do this for the love of it. And, people in the world say, no, this is a business and we want to do business with you and do it like a businessman. So we, are writing a press release or a one sheet or a marketing kit.
Well, yeah. Explain to people what the one sheet does and who we send it to.
Well, a one sheet in any industry is basically a one-page press release for a product or service. And it's usually read by people whose job it is to purchase or acquire or syndicate that job or product or service, whether it's a feisty libertarian talk show like the Freedom Fiends or whether it's, you know, expired canned soup being sold to third world countries. You know, somebody has to buy a lot of those, and it's their job. Yeah. And at radio, you know, the people who buy the expired canned soup of talk radio, which is the Freedom Fiends, they're called program directors. And no, we're the local bacon cheeseburger. No, we're the local microbrewery.
I like that.
Yeah, like the great, you know what we are? We're the great, garage band that tours regionally, but hasn't, and has gone out to the other coasts a couple times, but isn't a household name yet. And everybody who loves us is like, oh man, I'm cool because I love this thing. And they are cool because they love this thing. And that's how it always is with bands. And in 3 years, when Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh are working for us as our board op engineers for minimum wage, everybody is going to say, man, I was into the Fiends back then, even people who weren't. Kind of how I saw Nirvana play at a club for about 120 people in a room that had a – no, it was about 160 people in a club that had a fire capacity of about 99.
I think we'd let Limbaugh beatbox. He wouldn't be our board op. He'd do Rush Limbaugh's beat of the day.
Yeah.
like Biz Markie on Yo Gabba Gabba. Yeah, I could see him doing that.
Or like when they had who played a turkey? Some huge star played like turkey number 4 on South Park.
I think it was George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like, yeah, we'll let you be on our show, but here's your script.
He did it well, though.
Yeah, you
good
did.
Gobbling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have
that Clooney. He's just a pro.
We've been going out and getting blurbs from movers and shakers in talk radio and just in the world. So go read these 5 very short blurbs that are at the top of our list here. They're pretty cool.
And in case you didn't know, a blurb, it's like a short sentence or two about how great something
like
is.
Like on the back of a book, on the back cover
back
of, a
book,
you know, it says, you know, the Freedom Fiends cured my illness with their illness. Yeah. That's a John Harmon. John Harmon said that as
so
a joke.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's good.
It's awesome. Oh, or on like movie trailers, you know, the Newsweek called it inspiring. Something like that.
Yeah. The corporation that runs the magazine that also owns the film studio that made this film said, it's the best film ever. No, but ours
Blood,
are the
ocean.
And we do have a letter to read from Norway today, from a fan in Norway. Ah. Speaking of death metal.
Death
Norwegian
metal.
Death metal. Yeah, so go ahead and read these little 5 blurbs that are legit, and we went out and got these from people. And the first one is so cool. It's from the publisher at Talkers Magazine, Michael Harrison. And this is like a garage band getting a blurb from the editor of Rolling Stone or Spin saying, you know, this band really defines rock and roll. That's exactly what this is. So go ahead and read his. It blew me away. I was so honored, man.
According to Michael Harrison, the Freedom Fiends generate a modern application of a principle that must never be allowed to go out of style, the First Amendment.
I love it. I love it. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Well stated.
That's
freely
awesome.
As well. So, we also have Jack Murphy, the GM of WLSC Tiger Radio, who also plays the Fiends. The Freedom Fiends are for real. Watch out, America. I like that one.
I like that,
watch
too.
Watch out. Watch out, it's Fiends. All right.
They're right behind you. They're right behind you. Yeah,
they're coming up. They're coming up on you fast.
This
coming
next,
down fast.
This next one's hilarious.
Yes, yes. As a liberal, I want to hate the Fiends, but I can't. I love the Fiends. That's from Cody Kopp. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yep.
Kopp. Poor guy. It's spelled K-O-P-P, though. So
he's the program director at KDGO in Durango, and he also plays the Fiends.
Yes, he does. All right. And then Ian Freeman, co-host of Free Talk Live and our Liberty mentor or sponsor, our Liberty radio sponsor.
Yeah, kind of like in NAA, you know, you have a sponsor. Ian's our radio sponsor. He we tugged at his coattails. He's the farm team for talk radio. He does this thing called Liberty Radio Network. It's LRN.FM. It's kind of like NPR for libertarians. You know, it's 24/7 streaming internet radio that's done professionally like a radio, you know, with a show clock and with ads and everything. Although last night I helped somebody launch their show and they're having so many technical problems. I really hope no one heard it because it would erase everything I just said. But LRN is great, but this show was...
It is.
Anyway.
Well, shows have growing pains, you know, especially when they're being born. Birthing pains, I guess. So Ian Freeman says, oh, also Ian Freeman was the first time my voice was ever heard on actual radio because he interviewed me about my rap anthem, my freedom anarchy rap anthem, I Own Me, which you should also check out on YouTube if you haven't yet. But Ian says about the Fiends, quote, the Freedom Fiends are sure to be, quote, appointment listening for your audience. They're smart, fun, and nothing like the typical left-right spectrum of talk show hosts.
Well said, Ian. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. And Cody Wilson, a man of few words but many principal guns, says, the Freedom Fiends are great radio.
Yeah, he's Cody is the inventor of the printable gun, which I like having that quote in there as the last one because he's not a guy in talk radio, but he's actually been interviewed on a lot of talk radio. He's been on Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck sat across from him and said to him, looked him in the eye and said, you're the most dangerous man in America. Maybe that should be it. Cody Wilson, the guy Glenn Beck says is the most dangerous man in America.
I didn't take that as like, I'm Glenn Beck, I'm calling you a terrorist, like he did to the Ron Paul supporters in 2008. I took it as, you know, like a Barbara Walters talking to Snoop Dogg or something. You know, it
was, people it was say that you're the most dangerous man in America. Comment, please.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's what it seemed like to me. So I won't. I won't jump all over Glenn Beck's case for that because there's other things to do it.
Yeah. Yep. So that's the Fiends, and we're cool. Basically, you know, this is a teaching hospital, and we like to teach people how to do their own media. And one of the things is you got to make a one sheet and you got to go out and get feisty blurbs. But, you know, you kind of got to be someone to get blurbs, and you can't get blurbs till you can be someone. So it's a catch 22. But we did it somehow. We just kicked down the doors. We kicked the hornet's nest. We kicked the dragon, and we yacked, and people put us on the radio, and more people are putting us on the radio, and it rocks. And we like it.
You've got this great ability, Michael, to ask anybody in the world for anything. You never feel like, oh man, they're too big of a name, I can't talk to them. That never crosses your mind, and it's done wonders for the Freedom Fiends.
Well, I directed a movie that's narrated by Robert Downey Jr., and I got him to narrate it, and I directed the narration in it. And that film had a had a budget of about $20,000 that mostly came out of my pocket. I recouped it back, but it's probably the lowest budget film that Downey's in, except the one he was in when he was 5 years old. His dad put him in an art film where he played a puppy in a pound. I've never seen it. I think he's quashed it. I think he's made it go away, but I'd love to see that.
Wow.
Robert Downey Sr. Robert
Downey Jr. can do that. He's powerful enough to make something disappear from the internet.
I don't know. You know, I think he might be a libertarian because I read, first of all, he likes guns and weed. I mean, he's been arrested for guns and drugs a bunch of times. So, you know, he must be a libertarian.
Is that the new, I think he might be gay? I think he might be a libertarian.
Well, Woody Harrelson said he was an anarchist, which is just shocking. I mean, that someone would actually say that in Hollywood, because that's just, but he's so weird and so rich. He can say what he wants. It's kind of like how there are three Republicans in Hollywood, too. That's, you know, I mean, that's like saying you're gay in a conservative farming neighborhood, saying you're a Republican in Hollywood. And Angelina Jolie's dad, what's his name? He's one of them. And
John Voight.
And Bruce Willis. But yeah, Downey said, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, and I'm not going to talk about my politics. We'll be back.
We will talk about, hopefully not politics, very soon.
With more on the Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
F- Freedom Fiends, that's what it is. It is our live Saturday show. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. Uh-huh. How's it going, Michael?
Excellent. It's going, I think it's sounding better than Nathan Explosion reading Hamlet.
Ah, you stole that from the board op.
I did.
Thief! I did. Stop!
Yeah. Yeah, and when Rush Limbaugh was our board op, I will use him for inspiration.
Ah, yes. Will you?
I don't know.
Does he inspire you?
We're on.
Does Limbaugh get you going?
We're on after him on a couple stations after his week in review, which is why we have a segment called the Tweak in Review. Although he didn't actually come up with the term week in review. Several people use that and have used that throughout the ages. But, you know, speaking of regime uncertainty, okay, I'm going to tie this all together. But today's show is called Republicans Are Samuel Adams Before an Election and Alexander Hamilton After an Election. Tomorrow's show is going to be called Democrats Are John F. Kennedy Before an Election and John McCain After an Election. And I want to explain those. Okay, Republicans are Samuel Adams before an election and Alexander Hamilton after an election. Samuel Adams was a founding father. He was practically an anarchist. He was, you know, if you picture a revolutionary soldier with long ponytail hair holding a rifle up in the air, screaming and running into battle. That image in movies and things is taken from Alexander Hamilton. Samuel Adams. I'm very sorry. Thank you. I said a dirty word there. Alexander Hamilton. And Alexander Hamilton, like Samuel Adams wanted almost no government to the point of wanting no government. There's also a rumor that's very interesting that I've read, a historical rumor that that Samuel Adams actually may have fired the first shot of the Revolutionary War. Now, at the Battle of Lexington Concord, the order was don't shoot them until they shoot us. And it was basically, we want to not be the aggressors here. We want to be perceived by other people in our nation and by other nations as we were attacked and we fought back, not that we fought. And that's how all the history books have painted it. And there is some alternative views of history that may have some credence, that Samuel Adams was actually in a nearby boarding house and took the first shot as a sniper shot secretly. But anyway, Samuel Adams was a feisty guy and we like him. But Alexander Hamilton was horrible and wanted a huge government and snuck things into the Constitution to get us to where we are now. You know, when people say they love the Constitution and it's perfect and it's handed down from God, but those same people are complaining about what's happening with the Obama administration, you have to look at the disconnect of that, because everything that they're doing, a lot of it was allowed by the Constitution. You know, when Nancy Pelosi says, oh, Obamacare is constitutional because it's the
general welfare clause.
Yeah, general welfare clause. Yep. Unfortunately, I believe she's right. And that's heresy. I hate Nancy Pelosi and I hate Obamacare and I hate that they can do that. But if you read the general welfare clause, it basically says they can do whatever clause. It basically says they can do whatever they want. So Republicans
What do those two words mean? General, as in everything, and welfare.
As in, we'll tell you what's best for you.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a book by a good friend of the Fiends, I guess, Boston Tea Party, called, what is it, Hologram of Liberty?
Yeah.
Which basically explains a lot of the weasel wording and rhetorical maneuvering that went into the Constitution itself and the Bill of Rights, not just the Constitution, which actually sets up a giant federal government as we have today, but also the Bill of Rights, which is supposed to protect us from some of the powers of the federal government.
Yeah, and Hologram of Liberty explains why you can't really look at the Founding Fathers collectively and say the Founding Fathers would have wanted. No, Samuel Adams would have wanted basically peaceful anarchy with everybody with a cannon on their front porch pointing at anything that would come at it to mess with the house. Did I say Sam Adams? Sam Adams.
Yes.
Yes. Sam Adams.
Alexander Hamilton wanted pretty much what we have now.
Wanted the opposite. He wanted, you know, horse cart cars driving by with cannons pointing at everyone's house, telling them what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he also wanted a giant central bank. He wanted large public deficits. He wanted a very powerful presidency, if not something like an elected king. He wanted the modern America. The Hamiltonians won. You know, go read Probability Broach for another take on this, because it's basically counterfactual of what would have happened if the Hamiltonians would have lost, if George Washington would have got his butt handed to him in the Whiskey Rebellion. And the Articles of Confederation stood rather than the Constitution.
Yes, and Probability Broach is inked by Scott Beazer. I'm not sure who wrote it. He's collaborated with so many people. It might be his...
L. Neil Smith.
Is it L. Neil Smith?
Wrote it. It was actually a novel by L. Neil Smith, and then it was adapted to graphic novel by him and Beazer.
It's great.
But we will be back from the market in just a little bit. Stick with us, fiends.
Go to bigheadpress.com to read the Probability Broach online.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
All right, it's Freedom Fiends Live. Welcome back. It is Saturday, August 3rd. It's me, Nima V. And we've also got Michael Dean over there on the other end. How's it going, Michael?
It's excellent. I am excellent, Nima Vidati. How are you?
Are you really? Yeah. I'm well.
I'm good. This is the high point of my week. I spend my whole week working like a slave for this. Actually, not like a slave, because it's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And we want to talk about regime uncertainty. And we'll lead into that by talking about the name of tomorrow's episode, because it's going with today's, which is Republicans or Samuel Adams before an election and Alexander Hamilton after an election, which basically, like, everybody that ran in the last election and in the midterm elections, Republican, they all ran under the, I mean, Michelle Bachmann was saying, like, it might be time for a Second Amendment solution, basically saying it might be time to shoot the government if it doesn't do what it should.
And did she say – I thought another congressperson said
that. I thought it was
that.
Her.
I think she maybe agreed with it or didn't disagree with it. Or something. But I don't think it was her. It was a dude who said it, I'm pretty sure.
They were all being really, really, really feisty. They were. And
she was the one who said, I go to the beach with my Mises and read Human Action. Yeah.
And she doesn't probably know what Mises is, and we do. But, and then after an election, they're all Alexander Hamilton. They're all like, yes, we must have sensible gun control, and we must go along with Obamacare. And not all of them are going along with Obamacare, but the ones that are trying to get rid of Obamacare, most of them want to replace it with a state version of Obamacare.
Right. Do they say? They say repeal and reform. They say, let's get rid of this horrible law written by a Democrat, and we can have a horrible law written by a Republican. How's that?
Yeah, the government shouldn't be in the business of but it shouldn't be in the business of healthcare. And really, your job shouldn't have to provide healthcare. I mean, it's good if jobs do. I mean, I know that, we talked about Ian MacKay on Wednesday. Ian MacKay from Discord Records, he provided healthcare for his 10 employees back in the day before he was required to by law. And that's good. It's a good thing if you can do it. You want your employees healthy, and if you don't look at them as robots that can be replaced, you want them around. You know, you will not like this as a former pizza delivery guy, but last night we ordered pizza, and I was starving and famished and had been working on fiend stuff all day and was really just burnt and wanted a pizza. And the guy showed up, and I went out there, and he started chatting with me. And my first thought was, I almost said to him, why are you speaking, pizza robot? But I realized what he was
bad
speaking about. He was talking about how cute it was that my cat was looking out the window at him. And then he started talking about his cats. And I was like, a guy who likes cats. That's rare and that's cool.
Cats are the way to Michael's heart.
They really is. And instead of saying, away, foul, away, mouthy pizza bot, I was like, oh, cool, thanks. And gave him a tip. Gave him a better tip. Yeah, but
That's why we need to all go out and protest in the streets for the Domino's pizza drone to actually be implemented.
I know.
Instead of just proof of concept. Because the drones don't talk. They hum.
Yeah, and in a free market, a true free market, there wouldn't be drones of war and drones of spying. There would be drones of commerce. And John McCain loves drones, and John McCain loves everything bad that Democrats love. And he loves everything bad that Republicans love, which is why we say Democrats are – and we know John McCain's a Republican before anyone gets on us about this. Democrats are John F. Kennedy before an election and John McCain after an election. And that's kind of the same flip side of the other thing of Democrats are always great reformers. Obama ran on I will close Gitmo. I will protect your civil liberties. We will be the most transparent administration ever. Once elected, you know, he like – turned America into Gitmo, and his idea of transparency is we will hunt you down like a dog and throw you in prison if you leak any secrets of the bad things that we're doing. And I could go on and on.
We will force the planes of other heads of state down if we think that an NSA leaker is on the plane.
And he actually ran said he would reform – he would decriminalize marijuana before his election and after he was elected. At a town hall meeting, someone asked him that question. He laughed at the guy. Yeah. He's like, I don't think we'll be doing that.
Right. As in, oh, my God, the gall of you to call me out on one of my campaign promises. Don't you know how this works? I say pretty things. You give me power, and then I don't do them.
And then I kill you. I destroy all that is good and salt the earth.
I kill you.
Yeah, because Obama may be Satan. I'm not sure, but he might be. I don't know. Do you think?
Well, he's the incarnate of Satan in the sense that Satan is Staten, as we said a few radio shows ago. That is the essence of evil. Evil is the power of the state. Is men making their will into laws and forcing it on other men through raw power. That is the essence of evil. So I would call that motivation evil. And Obama is full to the brim with it.
Yeah, isn't the biblical beast what comes before the anarchist or the vice versa, where one of them unites everyone and hypnotizes them, and then the Antichrist comes? So he may be the beast, or he may be the predecessor to the Antichrist. I guess that would probably make Hillary Clinton the Antichrist, because I think she's going to become president. I'm really horrified, but gets back to regime.
Well, there's that old saying that every president makes you nostalgic for his predecessor. Not in the sense that George Bush was great, but man, things weren't as bad, were they? You know?
Yeah. Which gets us to our topic of regime uncertainty. Here's an example. I'm working my butt off. Nima's working his butt off at a job. I still make a little money from royalties from films and books that I did years ago. So I'm kind of taking this year off from working and making money to actually building the Fiends into something great. And that involves a lot of looking up phone numbers and calling people and networking and making one sheets. And it's more than a full-time job. I work about 60 hours a week on it and don't get paid yet for it. We have a couple advertisers, covers our expenses, and then, you know, a little pizza money once in a while. But basically, I'm working my butt off on this, and I have this fear that we're going to get to the point of being really popular, and instead of having the 8 affiliates we have now, have, you know, 100 or 200, 100 and something like Free Talk Live, or 500 like Rush Limbaugh, and then a president down the line will just say, oh, we can't have that kind of free speech on government licensed radio stations anymore, and just take over all the radio. I mean, that's what a lot of tyrants have done in a lot of regimes, is they just, the first thing they do is they take over the radio and the newspapers. And I have fear that that'll happen, and that I've worked this hard to make it happen. Now, any program directors listening to our show today, it's not going to be our fault if it happens. It's going to be just as much. They're going to quash Rush Limbaugh too, and they're going to quash Sean Hannity too.
Yeah,
yeah. And here's a thought too:
well, radio, as we know it, would cease to exist.
They could reinstate the Fairness Doctrine, which is a law they used to have that actually Clinton repealed, which was that if you talk about a right wing thing, you have to give equal amount of time to the left wing opinion of that. Now, I think program directors could make a legal argument that the fiends satisfy both of that at once, because we generally badmouth both sides. So maybe that would be, maybe they put that into action in law, and all of the right wing pundits would be kicked off the air the next day and have to be replaced by the fiends. That'd be good. Not really.
I would hope that, but I think in the practical terms, it ended up being, you know, right versus left when the Fairness Doctrine was in place. But I think it actually was meant to do, you know, the opposing point of view, which is still a very horrible dichotomous way of thinking of things. Like, there's only two solutions to a problem, or there's only two ways you could think of something, which is obviously false.
There's only two ways you can think about something.
They might say, well, if you're
go
if
ahead,
you have a
man.
Libertarian show, then you have to have a totalitarian guest on right after to debunk your libertarian stuff and say, well, we need FEMA camps, and we need to throw everybody in prison all the time, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, they've already got that. I mean, that's you know, MSLSD and CNN and Fox.
Right.
Oops, did I say something wrong? Oh well, sorry. I'll correct it tomorrow. Yeah.
What?
Huh?
Oh, okay. What?
Please say the whole thing. So regime uncertainty is the fear that you're going to build something in your life and then someone's going to come along and change it. A really good example is Obamacare. I mean, businesses don't know if they can hire people. They don't know if they can expand, you know, their building. They don't know if they can invest more money because they don't know how this thing's going to play out. And I have regime uncertainty. We have regime uncertainty with radio and where it's headed and, you know, which antichrist politician is going to come in and say, okay, that's enough free speech. All radio is going to be all speeches by Cass Sunstein and Barack Obama from now on, 24/7, all communism, all the time. So we don't know. Talk more about regime uncertainty, Nima.
Well, it happens a lot with businesses. I mean, I guess I first heard of it when the current recession, which obviously I say we're still in, even though there's supposedly these green shoots, or it's a jobless recovery, or whatever they want to say to make you feel like the world isn't ending. but the thing is, when that happened, you know, businesses didn't know what was next. They didn't know, should we invest in a bunch of capital goods and so we can increase production? What should we invest in? We don't know what the Fed's going to do. Are they going to inflate everything away? And so people just sort of sat on their money. They sat on their resources, more so than they would if they could just look at what was happening in the market and make their decisions based on what entrepreneurs have always based their decisions on. The fact that there was an interloper was more obvious to people then, and so that scared people into not producing as much as they would sans that interloper, which by that obviously I mean Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve, and the federal government in general, you know, because it's not just what's going on with the money, which is at least one half of every transaction, but also what is going on with all those cabinet level regulators who can instill things like the Fairness Doctrine. I mean, that's where those things come from. It's every aspect of the Fed goons that you have really to fear. I mean, those are the biggest villain. They are the biggest villains in modern times. And when they're feeling frisky, you got to watch out.
Yeah. You know, radio is really strongly regulated by EEO, Equal Employment, whatever. Every website that you go
opportunity.
To. Yeah. Of every radio station that you go to. On the front page, this must be required by law, there's a little thing that says EEO, and it's the link to, you know, their PDF that proves that they hired some left-handed lesbian midgets from Uganda this year because they're required to by law.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that's a bad idea if I'm going to play statist devil's advocate here? Well, actually, why don't you save it and you can tell me your response after we take a trip to the market. This is the Freedom Fiends.
To the real market. With the fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, it's the Freedom Fiends. We're at the bottom of hour one of our live Saturday radio show. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Holla.
Before the jump, I was asking you, Michael, well, what's so bad about a federal agency set up to prevent discrimination by employers?
And I decided that in this section of the game show, I'm going to use my lifeline and call my friend Nima Vidotti at home, because Nima Vidotti is much better on economic principles. Generally, when people say, you know, I can aptly identify, well, that's horrible. And then someone says, why is it horrible? And I say, well, forget you, man. And Nima's really good at saying why it's horrible. So there's a three-part thing here in this regime uncertainty question about EEO, Equal Employment Opportunity Law, which all businesses have to comply with. And first of all, there's another tangential point I'd like to bring up, which is that it's kind of weird that you have to prove ahead of time you're not violating a law. Aren't laws supposed to be, if you're accused of breaking them, then you have to prove you didn't? But no, with EEO, you have to offer compliance proactively ahead of time, preemptively, and say, I'm not breaking the law. It'd be kind of like, you know, having cameras in your home saying, and a big screen outside with every room shown, like, yes. No, there's no drugs in this house. You know?
Right. Well, I think that that's just a function of the whole concept behind that book, Three Felonies a Day.
Yeah.
Is the more things they have to get you on and throw you in a cage, the more they can hold over your head, the more power and control they have over you.
Yeah.
And that, in essence, is what the feds want. It's what the government wants. It's what the state wants. But as far as the
I guess we have a two-part – there's two things that – I can determine the questions, but you need to give the answers. The questions here that the people want to know, that I want to know, are – it's two parts, two prongs. One is without EEO laws, wouldn't left-handed Lithuanian single mother lesbians starve to death? And B, why shouldn't employers have to employ left-handed Lithuanian lesbian single mothers?
Well, to the first part, would the Lithuanian one-armed single mothers starve to death is, that's up to them. You know, they're not entitled to a job. They shouldn't be – employers shouldn't be forced at gunpoint, which is what EEOC laws are, to employ the Lithuanian one-armed woman. And she would have to find out her marginal utility, you know, what she's best at doing, what people are most willing to pay her the most money for, and that – in the end is responsible. She's the only one who's responsible for that. And so if the radio station didn't want to hire her, then hopefully she put out more applications than just the one to the radio station. And if she hasn't, then it's up to her to do more.
Also, a radio station under this kind of law or any business often ends up hiring someone who's not suited for the job and having to pass up someone who's experienced in the job, which lowers the overall value of the utility of the economy, and everyone's part of it.
It's
the people who put these laws into place say that they're putting them into place so everyone gets a fair share, but it actually makes everyone poorer.
Right. Well, that brings me to the next point about the employer is Walter Block, I think, said it best. When I think of discrimination and why it's silly to have these federal laws against it when it comes to businesses hiring people, is discrimination is, in essence, it's just choosing one thing over another. I mean, you discriminate when you go to the grocery store and you choose to buy the salmon sashimi or the California roll. You're making a choice as to what's best for you at that particular time. Buying labor, employing people, is no different. That's, I think, what people really need to get through their heads is, to a business person, for them to be a successful business person and produce goods for us to enjoy at a reasonable cost, they need to think of their labor as an input into their business and make decisions as if it were a bag of corn or a new dough mixing machine or whatever the case is. And when you have federal intervention saying, well, you have to buy this brand or this product, or you must buy corn in a brown bag and not in a black bag, or whatever the case is, you're placing more hoops for the employer to jump through, more paperwork for them to fill out, and then they're spending time, money, and resources on making the federal regulators happy rather than making the customers happy. And in the end, who gets hurt more? It's the customers. The buyers of the good have to pay more for it, and in the end, the product might go off the market because the business gets shut down because they didn't follow some EEOC law. As Walter Block says, without discrimination, there's no economizing taking place. It is chaos. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this market break.
We'll have more from Professor Nima Vedati with Austrian Econ 101 when we get back from the market. Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Welcome back, Fiends. It's hour two of the live Freedom Fiends radio show. It is Saturday, August 3rd. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How are you doing there, Mr. Dean?
I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America.
So you say.
Yeah.
And but we also have somebody else, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, you got to talk a little bit before you put someone on. That's a radio rule.
It's been 20 seconds.
It hasn't been 20 seconds of building the delay. And we are a teaching hospital here on the Freedom Fiend, so we will point things out. You know, whenever you do have a call-in show, you will notice on a live call-in show, they never, ever, ever put the caller in directly after the break, even if he was on before the break and he's holding over. The reason is it takes 20 seconds to build the 6-second delay. And I'm watching it build right now, and it's at 3.9 seconds, 4 seconds. Okay, we're almost there. So I'm just giving a little behind the scenes how things work. And Nima almost broke a cardinal rule, which was putting someone on before the delay is built. I'm watching it build. I'm talking while it's building. It's at 5.2 seconds now. And I want to talk a little bit about what we were talking about to bring it back to this. We were talking about regime uncertainty, which is how businesses don't know if they can hire because there's so much market regulation and there's so many bureaucrats trying to dip their beak like these birds out my window. And so we're going to bring our caller on to talk about some real life experiences his dad had. I think caller's name is Chris. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
Good. What do you got for the Fiends today for the teaching hospital of economics that is the Freedom Fiends?
Well, it's kind of interesting because my dad worked for the telephone company for a lot of years, and I guess I could say about two or three decades later, he ended up going into business for himself. And after the 2008 collapse, I kind of asked for some of his insight. You know, as a kid, I didn't really have much care for what my dad had to say because we were always bumping heads, but great insight. The thing with the economy is that he said the reason why businesses have left this country in droves are because the same people who are talking about wanting to increase jobs have overburdened our businesses with regulations to the point it's just too expensive, expensive to hire people.
Yeah, there's
well,
others.
What kind of things in specific made it expensive? Because I know my dad, he runs a few businesses too, and every time they talk about minimum wage going up, or obviously, you know, healthcare, Obamacare, providing new benefits to your employees, those are all costs for entrepreneurs. Was it along those lines, or could you be a little bit more specific?
Well, he said some of the things were like the regulations for the taxes and stuff like that. He had to file certain forms a certain way. He had to pay certain taxes. Now, his business was in California, so that was an outrageous scenario for him. Yeah, because they like to run a lot of tax and spend. And he also had to, you know, hire. They regulated him. I'm hiring so many minorities versus, you know, the other people in the business. If they would just let businesses go, but keep them within a framework of honesty, I think the market would balance itself out.
Yep. How much time do you think it took him to follow all these? I mean, was he up late at night filling out paperwork or trying to figure out how to cross the I's or dot the I's and cross the T's on all these forms and make sure that he wasn't violating this federal regulation or that state regulation?
Well, I'll just put it to you this way. As a kid growing up, I was in my teen years. At most, he would get 4 hours of sleep at night. So he was putting in 20-hour days.
Wow. Wow, and that's just – that's not good for anybody. And think about how much of that time, like you said, could just be eliminated if you let the market take care of these things rather than having it imposed on you. Because then all the work falls on people like your dad. All that extra work, it's not – you know, the bureaucrats that are staying up late at night. They go home at 5. They have long weekends. They go to sleep, you know. It's the average Joe entrepreneur out there who's spending all that extra time making sure that these EEOC laws or federal tax regulations or healthcare laws get enforced the way that it has been written.
Yeah, my mother also ran a business and slept 4 or 5 hours a night. And this was in the 70s and the 80s in New York State. You know, when I was growing up, I barely had time to see her. I was a latchkey kid. Both my parents were self-employed and working 80 hours a week to make a little more than they'd make working for someone else 40 hours a week because they had that spirit to go out and do it themselves. And I think Nima and I have definitely inherited that spirit from our parents. You know, that's the thing they passed on to us, maybe genetically, maybe through example. They didn't try to beat it into us, but we learned it from them. And that's why we're here running the Fiends 20. And I'm working 80 hours a week and making less money than I would make working 40 hours a week for someone else at this point to try to build a business that's great. Did you follow in your father's footsteps with that, Chris?
No, I did not. After graduating high school, I joined the military, served all over the world, and met different people. Then afterwards, I got out, worked for the government for another 11 years. So I have about 21 and a half years, roughly, of service for the government. I went a different route.
Do you still do that, and are you looking to do something else?
No, right now I'm medically retired. I had a serious operation in the military and was discharged medically from the Army, but I ended up buying a house on my VA home loan, and I figured out how the housing market collapsed and what happened with that, and a lot of people just don't know that one either.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know a lot of things about what really happens. One thing I'm thinking about is Obamacare and how everybody's thinking, well, yeah, whatever, but at least I'll have free health care like they do in the UK. And what a lot of people don't understand is Obamacare. Okay, I don't like the idea of free UK health care, but Obamacare isn't even as good as that or is far worse than that. Obamacare is not Obama's going to buy me a health care plan. Obamacare is a legal requirement that you buy your own health insurance. So all these kids, you know, young people that voted for Obama, and part of the reason was he said you're going to get free health care, are going to be horribly shocked when they realize that instead of it working the way they thought it would, which is the rich old people paying for their health care, it's actually going to be the other way around, where they have to buy health care for themselves, which they don't need, probably. So the old people who have lots of diseases and illnesses and aches, like me in my case, you know, the young people are going to be buying my health care, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. All Obamacare means to me is I'm going to have to pay a bunch more money to the IRS at the end of the year. I think it's the penalty is $750 for the first year. And I think it progressively gets bigger. Like, it's going to break $1,000 in year two once it gets implemented.
I wonder if they have anything written in it to where it becomes a criminal penalty after 7 years or something, and they can take your guns away because you've broken the law for 7 years.
Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, like Nancy Pelosi said, oh, we'll pass it, then you can read it. And the thing is, even now that it's passed and we can read it, people still don't know what the implications of it are going to be, because it's, you know, it's a several pounds of paper. It's 1,200, 1,600 pages, something like that. And there are things in it where there's one line which is going to require a business adding another employee or two more employees to deal with the compliance on it. Who knows, man?
Insane. The whole thing is insane. I mean, I think I read an article recently. Like I said, I'm just moving into my new place, so I'm trying to get my wheel spinning here. But I recall reading an article where one of the states, like, okay, California, for example, they're one of their insurance companies that was going to get involved with the healthcare exchange there bailed out because they said there is absolutely no way we can financially do this. So they're out.
Right.
And then people in Florida, I think it was Florida, correct me if I'm wrong, said that they've already seen their health care rates go up as much as 40%.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Chris. You're obviously a hardworking guy if you've been in the military. I would not say that if you've just been a government employee elsewhere. I would say, well, you're probably not a very hardworking guy. But since you've been in the military, you've obviously, you know, had to wake up really early and do what you're told and stand in lines and do other things that work for employers and look good for employers. But why didn't you follow in your father's footsteps? Was it because you saw him beating his brow to death every night and didn't want to do that? Did that discourage you from becoming your own employer?
Well, yeah, that and other personal reasons. That just, I didn't seem interested in business, and I probably still wouldn't be. But I, like you said, you grew up watching your mom, what was it, sleeping only 4 or 5 hours a night?
Yeah, if that. Sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, what kind of a life is that? That's no life. If that, you know, if that's the way to get ahead, by the time you're done, if you're dead and buried because of working yourself to the nub, that's no life at all.
It also encourages people to go into black market businesses instead. You know, I think there are people, a lot of people who get caught dealing drugs are drug users who are trying to finance their own addiction or their own habits or their own hobbies. But the people who don't get caught are often the people that are moving large amounts of it, who wouldn't touch the stuff if you paid them to, and they're just doing it as a business because it's a business they can do without having to fill out all the paperwork. I mean, basically what that says to me is the threat of another dealer taking you out with a bullet is preferable to that amount of paperwork and regulation.
That's a great point, Michael.
Well, here's something interesting, too, that – like with the housing market, it took me a long time to figure it out. You know, it's just like this big mess coming at you like a giant snowball. But I realized that another reason why the economy is hurting so bad is all these people who were getting these home loans without without any money down were getting mortgage insurance from their mortgage companies. And then what happens is the banks could foreclose and they'll file for that insurance. And they get the whole value of the house back, and they still win anyway. And you figure that through the millions of people throughout the United States, it was a complete ripoff scam.
Yeah, and there's varying theories as to whether that was just caused by politicians trying to promise things to people to get elected, or if it was some kind of, you know, communist plan based on some book written in the 60s that Obama read and people in his cabinet read. I don't even know, and I don't always go to the conspiracy version of it. I kind of go to just, that's the way things work when people want to promise away other people's money to get in power. And it's, Nima, what did you say about Genghis Khan? Was it Genghis Khan?
Something like 1 in 200 people are direct genetic descendants, according to some study. I forget the source. It's kind of a funny little blurb, but I don't know how relevant it is. But somebody mentioned on Facebook that maybe that explains the sociopaths and psychopaths in Congress and in cabinet level positions.
I think it does, because, you know, I have that theory that there are two subspecies of human. Homo parasitis, which is those sociopaths who want to rule and be ruled, and homo libertitis, which is people who want to be left alone, and they're constantly at war. I want to thank you for your call, Chris. It's been really good having you on the Freedom Fiends, and we'll be back after this trip to the market. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Years, I think it might have been 5 years. I don't remember the exact numbers on the report. But this was Michael's point of, you know, maybe the reason, one of the reasons for that is that, you know, your chance of coming into contact with a competing black market provider and losing, people would rather take that chance sometimes than have the guarantee of it. If you screw up your federal regulation, if the feds come down on you, they raid you with the SWAT team. I would imagine that a SWAT team is probably a bit more scary than even the dirtiest Mexican drug cartel goons.
I will say that a lot of times when there is gunplay on the streets in the hood, people miss. SWAT teams don't miss. They send, first of all, they're trained better. They have unlimited money and ammo for training. And secondly, they send so many of them, and they're doing it legally, that they won't miss, man. You know, the gangster running by the other gangster on the street doing a drive-by can miss, because he has to keep going, and he has to hide, and he has to run. But the SWAT team won't miss, man. And if they miss, they'll send someone else in.
Yeah. And so, you know, these federal rules, they are that bad. They are that bad of a burden on the nation's entrepreneurs, on the world's entrepreneurs. I don't know why I said something silly like the nation's. But, you know, and it's – it's so many different things, and Chris, our caller from Reno, he brought up some great examples. But another one that I've come into contact in my experience and with my family's experience is the minimum wage. And the thought that increasing it will make the economy better, that it'll make poor people richer, I think it's just on its face false,
but
silly,
Nima,
and childish.
But Nima, without minimum wage, people without any job skills would starve.
Well, they wouldn't. I really don't think they would. And it's trying to solve, again, like the state does, it's trying to solve problems that the state creates. Why is food so expensive? Why is anything so expensive? You got to imagine if Chris, our caller's dad, was staying up working 20 hours a day. You know, other businesses pay people to do that. They pay people who have a full-time job of making sure they're in compliance. Imagine if you got rid of all of those salaries out there. Imagine if you got rid of all the taxes, the transportation rules and regulations that people spend money on. Getting that food to market would be so much cheaper, sans the state. So you could take a big chunk off the price of your meal from that. You could take a big chunk off the price of the meal if you got rid of the salary of the dude whose job it is just to keep in compliance. There are so many parts where the birds, you know, dip their beaks, as you put so appropriately earlier, that we've estimated before, and other people have estimated, just the drastic reduce in the cost of everything sans the state, which acts as a middleman, not in just one part of a transaction, but across so many levels. Every piece of your computer, every ingredient in your burger, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So the person with no job skills, say they got hired on, they're a 15-year-old. First of all, they don't need to pay rent. You know, I wouldn't think the average 15-year-old needs to pay rent. They don't need to pay for their car note. Their parents probably take care of most of their things. Maybe they just need money to go out to the movies on a Friday night or have a bucket of popcorn. And so in that case, if an employer can get away with paying them enough that they need to go buy the latest chromed robot turd or whatever it is the teenager needs, then also the business can afford to pay the medium skilled worker or the higher skilled worker more. See, I think that that's a big thing people miss too, is what about all of us who get paid a little bit more than minimum wage? You know, what ends up happening is the person who makes $10 an hour now, he doesn't get a raise, does he? If the feds raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour, then the person who's struggling on their $10 an hour is struggling more, because now he has to pay more for his McDonald's sandwich or whatever it is that he's buying, because those businesses have to pay their more marginal workers even more. So it hurts. It hurts so many people. It hurts the entrepreneur. It hurts the medium level worker. It's gonna
hurt
the middle class.
Just stop.
Even more.
It hurts. Government, just stop. All you do is hurt. It hurts. Yes. It burns. Stop it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yeah! Those feedback sounds make me feel good.
Yeah.
But before the break, we were talking about stuff that does not feel good. The state, the government, the regulations, they end up doing so much more harm than good. They hurt lots of people. They yes. hurt families. They hurt workers. They hurt business owners.
Show us on the doll where the government hurt you, Billy.
Here, here, and here.
And in my pocketbook and my brain and my heart. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my liberty.
In your liberty, in your libertitis, an inflamement of the liberty.
I have libertitis. Yes. I have an inflamement of the liberty.
Yes.
It's a good
inflammation.
Thing.
It is. It is. But we actually have some fan mail from, you like to say, I'm broadcasting live in my windowless bunker, live and worldwide. Well,
it is actually
some,
worldwide, apparently. Because here's yeah. We got an email from Norway. And actually, this came up in the context of another fan who's actually in Minnesota, which is where GCN is. This woman named Juliet who wrote me, and we were chatting back and forth, and she said, about liberty in general, you know, she's someone who wants to become very involved in liberty and has skills. And it's like, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? And actually, I've had so many people disappoint me trying to volunteer. And this goes back to like running a small business. Like you can't afford to pay people to get the right people who have the skills and the experience to do something until you can get the business to the point where you can do that. And you can't do that without help. And so I've throughout, you know, everything I've done, I've often asked for volunteers who just want to help. and you know, for deferred payment or on consignment or whatever. Go ahead.
Think about what it would take, because Michael, you spend so much time, but so much time of what you're doing is, you know, a lot of grunt work that could be done, you know, that most businesses would hire somebody, some lower level worker to do. Even if we paid somebody something like $10 an hour to do it, that'd be $1,600 a month we'd be spending on them. Do we have $1,600 a month to spend on that? No.
But not yet. Yeah. But and you know, we're admitting here that we're new, but we're new and we're good. So So she's someone who wants to help out and like is like, "Hey, I want to write movies with you guys." And you know, and my experience has been like, if someone wants to do something like that with you, you're going to be so involved with them. Like I've become with you, Nima. You're the one person that didn't disappoint me, you know, that I'm still working with every day. And so many people have disappointed me, and people have helped out a little bit here and there and not disappointed me. But the thing is, before I'll let somebody co-write a movie with me, which is a 24/7 thing for like a year, I'm like, well, let's see what you can do. Let's see if you can call, you know, do some grunt work. And if they can do that, they might have what it takes to show up if they have the you know, basically, if you want to be my mental partner, which I'm not looking for, I have Nima. But, you know, if somebody wants to work more in Liberty, I usually start them on something small. So I started her out doing something. We were chatting back and forth, and she said, "I wonder if we're really just preaching to the choir, are folks really waking up?" And I said, "I often wonder both myself, but Ron Paul had a great quote somewhere. I can't find it now, but it's something along the lines of, we may be changing the world, or it may be all for naught, but we have to do it so we can tell our grandchildren at least we tried." And that's kind of what gets me up in the day.
Right.
And another thing that gets me up is getting emails from people in Norway or, you know, Kansas or wherever, Minnesota. And, you know, people are listening, and I dig it. What were you going to say there, Nima?
Well, I was going to say, in your interview with Stefan Molyneux, he had a great rant on the same tip as that Ron Paul quote, where he basically just said, it doesn't matter if people are listening. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter if you wake them up. All that matters is that you put everything into it, is that you hit it with the most passion, drive, reason, evidence that you have at your disposal, because that's the only way you win in the end, is if you do give it your all, because we're not going to win this, you know? No, you don't win the war of ideas by being lazy about it.
You know, one of the earliest things I ever did as far as communicating with the whole world, even before I got into building little radio transmitters when I was 11, was when I was 7, I wrote a note and a message in a bottle with my phone number in it, or no, address, and threw it into Lake Erie with my dad. He thought it'd be, you know, I came up with the idea. He said, "Yeah, let's go do that." He helped me write it, drove me down to Lake Erie. We threw it in Lake Erie. In, you know, like Westfield, New York, where we were living. And somebody in Buffalo, New York, like 75 miles away, a couple weeks later, wrote me a letter and said, "I found your message."
Nice.
And you said to write you. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And we actually, my dad called the local paper and they wrote a little article about it. And that was like the first time I was ever written up anywhere and the first time I ever reached out to strangers out in the universe, out in the world that I couldn't see and didn't know. And it kind of defined where I was headed. And I'm still doing that at age 49, you know, 42 years later, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And we're throwing a message in a bottle out there. And I'm not just speaking literally, because I've actually done that. So we got a note back from one of our, you know, podcast versions of this radio show, from a message in a bottle from someone in Norway. So let's read this thing from Risto Heronon.
I'll leave it at that. You're
probably
closer.
Not saying that right.
Yeah. You're closer in heritage to the
Finnish.
He is
from Norway.
I
could say it in death metal.
Oh, okay.
Risto Heronon.
All right. He writes, "Hello, I am 24-year-old fiend living in Helsinki, Finland, but also sometimes hanging out in Eastern Europe."
And I said,
today,
excellent.
Excellent. Yes, that is excellent. He says, "Today I was walking past by our status parliament building, and there was two tourists, a couple from L.A., who wanted me to take a picture of them."
And let me interject here for a second. I'm going to have Nima read it exactly as written in very slightly broken English. If anyone's like, "He doesn't speak English," I want to know how well you speak Norwegian. Okay, but, you know, maybe people in Minnesota might actually. So go on.
Well, he's living in Finland, but he's from Norway. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Or you speak Finnish. Yeah.
Okay.
Any Scandinavian language. And there probably are a bunch of people in Minnesota that speak all of them.
Because
as they say in Death Clock, a bunch of... Okay, go on.
I speak enough Swedish to shop at IKEA. That's about it. Okay. The lady was working for KROQ. K-Rock.
Now,
FM,
remember, let's get back to this. This is a guy in Norway talking to some people from L.A. that wanted him to take his picture because they were tourists.
In Finland, Michael. In Helsinki.
Sorry.
It's okay.
That's like saying Chinese, Japanese. It's all the same. Yes, yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
My wife calls them the non-sufficient funds countries. Cause NSF. Norway, Sweden, Finland.
That's great.
The lady was working for K-Rock FM in LA and seemed interested when I told them that I listened US radio stations. So I told her to check out freedomfiends.com podcast and explain that you are looking for new radio stations to be broadcast on and also that you're already on a bunch of them. She typed your web address on her chromed robot turd and was really looking forward to check you guys up. Unfortunately, K-Rock FM looks like to be CBS affiliate statist.
I wrote back. Thank you. Unfortunately, KROQ is a music-only station that carries no talk. It's not an issue that they're statist. And I don't know if you meant statist or corporate or whatever, but, probably some crossover.
Same
both.
Thing,
yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I said, we're on some corporate stations. We want to be on corporate stations. Otherwise, our reach would not be far, and we'd only be preaching to the choir. I know there's a strong European feeling that you shouldn't sell out, that you should only be pure and not work with commercial entities. I encountered that a lot while touring Europe with my DIY or Die film in 2004. And I'm not saying you're like that. But I want to explain that it is a goal of the Fiends to be on commercial mainstream talk stations. We even love that we come on right after Rush Limbaugh on a few stations. We want to convert people who would never otherwise consider true liberty. We think that's more important than being on pure-only stations. Because in the U.S., pure-only stations means low power, like a tenth of a watt. Commercial radio means being on 1,000-watt, 10,000-watt, and 50,000-watt stations. It's the difference between a station reaching 10 houses in one neighborhood, or the most powerful station in the tri-yard area, versus reaching parts of 3 states and 2 countries. One of our 8 stations does that and also reaches up into Canada. Also, KRQR is a lefty station. Unfortunately, even if they played some talk, they wouldn't touch us. I used to listen to that station when I lived in Los Angeles. It's a progressive station, i.e. their motto should be KROQ, all communism, all the time. and I said, thanks for looking out for us, though. And KROQ, it's called The Rock. They actually broke a bunch
K-Rock.
They actually broke a bunch of punk rock and contributed a lot to the wonderful filth that is punk rock. And
yes.
Then I said, Worms. And I sent that to him, and then I sent it to Julie as an answer about, are we just speaking to ourselves, and he wrote, and she said, yeah, and I like your idea of worming into mainstream media, which
yes.
I like the use of the worms yes. word. Good. Yeah.
It is great. Well, the thing is, there's Fiend missionaries. I mean, the Fiend listeners go out and say Fiend things to their friends.
I know.
Ideally, their friends could even start listening.
That guy tried to save a statist. He tried to minister to an unsaved statist.
Well,
like
and the thing is, even though the woman he was talking to works for K-Rock, that doesn't mean she agrees with everything her bosses agree with. Doesn't
yep.
mean she agrees with the whole vibe of the station. It could just be a job to her.
A
and
lot
maybe
of
she's going to be working in that industry, and she her next station, she could pimp the Fiends.
Yeah, a lot of people don't agree with what their bosses do. A lot of
right.
times a job is a job. That's why they call it a job. If it wasn't a job, if it was something you do because you're burning to do it, it would be the Fiends. Like, I get up every day and work, 10 hours a day making calls and compiling lists and working on planning and things like that. And I don't make money doing it. We make a little money. I mean, I made $60 last month on this.
Yes, I made sure my ox got his corn.
For 100 hours a week. Like 80 hours a week of work. Yes, your ox got his corn.
Yes, thank you. Ox. Thank you, Corn.
Death metal from Norway. Yeah. Or is it Finland? Finland. I'm sorry. Norway, Finland. Finland.
You don't have any Scandinavian blood in you, Michael. You kind of
look like
almost Scandinavian.
My stepson does. My stepson is almost all Norwegian on his father's side, and my wife is German. So he's basically a Viking god. He's like 6'7", and his sister is like 6'3", and they're both blonde. I mean, they are Viking gods. And Helsinki, Finland is where Death Clock raised the troll. Remember that? And then had to put him down by playing grandpa's guitars.
Ah,
acoustics instruments.
Right.
Acoustics instruments are for puss-puss and grandpas. Yeah.
That's great.
Musa.
The Fiends.
Krokic.
Yeah.
Musa.
So,
Krokic.
So... We've got some European listeners there. We got this guy up in Finland. We also have a very big Fiend booster in Prague, right?
Yeah.
Václav, who's one of our favorite Fiend boosters.
Yeah, he recently sent pictures of him and an American Fiend fan, Nikki Darling, hanging out in the town square in Prague in a spot I've stood in, but they were holding a sign that said freedomfiends.cz, because there is a freedomfiends.cz. There's a Czech archive of our site on the Freedom Fiends. And we'll be back
to help keep us drone proof
with the tweak and review right after this on the Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. Love The Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Ah, yes, it's the Freedom Fiends. Welcome back. This is the end of the show. Thank you very much for joining us for the final segment. Yes, I am Nima Vidati. This has been Freedom Fiends, and you are Michael Dean saying aww.
Mr. Michael W. Dean, broadcasting from a windowless bunker. So we got a tweak and review here, huh?
Yes, we do. It's the Freedom Fiends tweak and review. Yeah. So, number one, regime uncertainty. You know, we actually wanted the show to be more lighthearted, general interest, but it turned into kind of an economic show.
We can't stop. We relapse. When we try to not do politics, we relapse on doing politics.
But this is slightly different. Economics, which is broader than politics. You know, when you're talking about economics, you're pretty much talking about all human action. Politics is really the study of forcible human interaction in the state.
Stealing, theft, and hate.
Also known as politics.
You know what the Fiends say, state speech is hate speech, and we have buttons that say that. If you go to the Freedom Fiend site and click on the links that says buttons.
Yeah. So regime uncertainty, right? So when you build a house, you probably don't want to build it right on the beach or in a floodplain, because it's going to flood. And you know that. You know where it's going to flood and where it's going to hurricane. And so you can decide to build your house, if you don't want to get flooded, you know, in the woods or on a hill or in the mountains, wherever it is. But regime uncertainty. So that's the concept of, you don't know what the situation is going to be. And there are powerful forces at work that can put an end to your livelihood in a matter of minutes or days, or however long it takes those goons to get up off their butts and get the sandwich juice off of their mustaches and go and goon you. So regime uncertainty, it kills an economy. It hinders an economy. And a big, or the only part of it, is the fact state has so much power and control over how people do business. So when people say, well, we need all these regulations, we need the government to do this so that we can have a recovery, so that we can have a good business environment, that's all false. Whenever the government, even if they have the best of intentions, the very fact that they have the power to intervene and do so often means that investors and businessmen are going to be much more careful and wary about what they do, and they might fail to act in a lot of cases. It addles them. So regime uncertainty, very bad for the economy. Number two, life's not hard because Hooters won't hire male servers. It's hard because the state makes employing people expensive and arduous. And also the state makes the prices of pretty much all goods rise. So, you know, it's the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or whatever they're called, they're not making it easier for people to get jobs. They're not keeping bigotry and racism from being a plague. All they're doing is providing hoops for employers to jump through. They're making it to where people have to spend a lot of time, energy, and resources just to make sure that they don't get popped with a big federal fine or even get shut down. If they didn't have to do that, then they would hire the best person for the job always. So you as a consumer would get better product, better service at a better price. That kind of thing makes the whole economy healthier. And the opposite of that, which is what we have now, makes the whole economy worse. Three. The reason for the booming, I guess, black market. This was Michael Dean's gem. The chance, right? That's the operative word with the italics. The chance of a bullet in the head seems preferable to the guarantee of a bullet in the head if you continually resist federal paperwork and regulation. So sort of the thought that, hey, you know, What that says that the black market's growing and the business people that want to move large amounts of heroin or whatever they're smuggling, they're actually more scared of doing a business out in the open, the quote unquote open. They're more scared of the Fed goons coming down and swatting them than they are of the rival cartel or smuggler trying to hurt them.
They're more scared of following the law than of breaking the law.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's the bumper sticker version. And finally, minimum wage hurts the economy for pretty much the same reasons as all the other things I just said. But just think about it. One of the ways I like to point out is think about all the people who make a little bit more than minimum wage. Now, all of a sudden, they're not getting a raise. They're making minimum wage. You demoted millions of people if you go ahead and raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour. And then there's the old trope of if raising the minimum wage worked, why don't you just make it a million? Obviously, that falls flat on its face economically. So ponder on that, marinate on that, and we'll be back tomorrow with more Freedom Fiends.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.